Well, praise God. Get your Bible out tonight. Woo! Go to the book of Acts. I believe with all of my heart the book of Acts is the one book of the Bible it's still being written. And if you want to be in it, then, you know, we've got to be like the apostles were, like the early disciples were. Amen? And so, you know, there could be a chapter of Scott. Whee! It's right there beside Abraham. Got him beat. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 23. I just want to share something with you tonight about distractions. Anybody ever had a distraction? You ever been trying to just do what God, you really feel like God wants you to do, and then there's just distractions? You know, it's like trying to go on a diet during Christmas. There's distractions and luring, beckoning things everywhere, right? And a lot of times it's like that when we're trying to serve God. We want to serve God, and the intent of our heart is to serve God, but it's real easy to get distracted. Hello? It's like fishing, you know? I mean, what is a lure? I mean, it's the very word, the name of it gives you the essence of what it is, that it's luring the fish, right? You get something that flashes, you get something that, and not they're not always biting on the same thing, right? You got to find that bait, that hook. And sometimes it's like that with the devil. He wants to get you distracted from doing the things of God, all right? Wants to get you distracted, and so he keeps throwing bait in front of you and letting it come by, trying to get you to get off, to look at that, to follow over here when you're supposed to be going over here, right? Well, the only way to do that, hold your finger there at Matthew 23, and let me show you one other scripture. Huh? I hold your finger at Acts 23, go to Matthew. Y'all keep me straight. Chapter 6, verse 22. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is full of darkness, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The Lord spoke the scripture to me this way a long time ago. He said, Robert, if you'll stay focused, if you keep your eyes single and you'll stay focused, then you won't get distracted in life. You won't miss it. The only way to not walk in the distractions that God has, you got to know what you're focused on. Y'all with me? If you don't know what you're focused on and you're just scanning the horizons, then you're going to go anywhere. But if you know what you're focused on, so let's go back now to Acts 23. The Apostle Paul, if there was ever a man who had a ton of distractions in life, things that came up in life that just were trying to always get him off, okay? You think about it. He had to deal with the Jews. He had to deal with the Gentiles. He had to deal with the apostles. He had to deal with all these people all the time, and he's just trying to follow his vision or what Jesus told him to do. Now, it says here in Acts 23, when the Apostle Paul had already been arrested, he was imprisoned, and it says that the Lord spoke to him. It says, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness for me in Rome. So Paul had a vision. He had a focus. He knew that he had to go to Rome. He knew that he was going to end up in Rome. In Rome, he was going to preach the gospel. Now, in that day, going to Rome meant going to the center of the world. Everything came out of Rome. So that meant he was going to go to the highest place and where everything that went out all over the kingdom was going to come. He knew that if the gospel was preached in Rome, that Christianity even stood a greater chance to be exploded out over all the world. Everybody in the world passed through Rome. Okay? So he kept this vision, kept this focus. Now, what's interesting is so many times in life, we want to know the beginning from the end. Are y'all like that, or is it just me? I mean, I'd really like to just have the Lord just, you know, like I go to the fax machine in the morning and out comes the things that I'm supposed to do today. Okay, Lord. You know, I'm going to go do this. Okay, you want me to go do this? This? Well, I don't understand that, but okay, I'll go do it because you wrote it down here. Y'all with me? Are y'all think the same as me? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be simple? Wouldn't that give you confidence? No, you're not missing God. You just got the facts every morning. Come over the iPhone. Holy mackerel. I got to tell y'all this. This doesn't have anything to do with what I'm preaching, but it just popped in my brain in just a second. And I'm not saying this about the Catholic Church per se, but I'm telling where we're going in life. Do you know, because I was going to say, it'd be nice to just get a text or an email on the iPhone. Did you know I heard that today that the Catholic Church has an app for confessions? That they went ahead and through the bishop or the cardinal or the pope or whoever does it, said, yeah, go ahead, it'll be good. Because even though they need to go ahead and go to a priest, but it'll be a good place to start because the first thing you need to start is you need to acknowledge it. So there's an app. So I got to tell y'all, if it's there, I got to download it. I got to see this thing. I've got to see, what are you going to do? You going to speak in your iPhone? Little guy comes up there and says, yeah, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. How much? Did you already go download it? I mean, that's cheap confession. I ought to have the Robert Richards app, you know, Dr. Richards app. I come up and say, what are you doing today? You have a selection, push, you know, good day, bad day, need help, scripture. I come on, hey, you know, encourage you. I'm so slow on my iPhone that the other day, somehow or another, I got it turned around the other way. Instead of the camera looking out, it was always looking at me. And so I was like, what am I doing here? You know, I'm trying to get away from the thing, and it was always my face. And I'm like, what in the world, you know? Okay, let me see if I can get back my thought back over here. Okay, so Paul knew where his focus was. He knew where he had to go. He knew what he was supposed to do, right? If you don't have a focus, if you're just looking out there over the horizon, well then, you know, where are you going, right? So then he knew that he had to go to Rome. He knew that before Rome he had to go speak. Now let's see what he was going to speak. We don't want to get complicated. We want to keep it simple. Look at chapter 26. Look at verse 12. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking before Agrippa, and he tells him what his whole essence of his life is about. He said, this occurred as I was in a journey to Damascus with authority from the commission of the chief priests. And at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which you are yet to be revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jews, from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open the eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. He knew he was going to go to Rome and he knew what he was going to preach. But look what it says here, verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which will be revealed to you. Folks, all Jesus ever wants from us is to be a witness, a testimony of what God has done in us and what we have seen God do to other people. It's not real complicated what your focus should be. This focus fits every one of us. Your focus is to be that you're on this earth for the very purpose of being a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Not necessarily what he's done for everybody or the great theological discussions, but what he's done for you, who he is to you, who is Jesus to you. That he saved you and that he delivered you and he touched your family and opened your eyes and you know, he says he's going to open their eyes to see from darkness to light. What has God shown you? The way that you, the path you were walking that was wrong, that was leading you into trouble, and now you know that that's a wrong thing. You tell somebody else who's in that path that, hey, that's a bad road. Don't go down it. I remember years and years and years ago, Laura and I first married, and we went with my sister and her husband on a trip to Colorado. And we rented one of those Jeeps and went up into the mountains, you know. We didn't know what we were doing, just a bunch of rednecks from Texas. We had no business even being up there. And we went off on these roads and started climbing. I never forget, we met this guy, and I said, my brother-in-law was driving, and I was in the passenger seat, and the girls were in the back. And I said, we pulled up and said, hey, stop this guy. I said, hey, how's the road looking up there? And he said, ah. Pretty good on up there. That was his words. We got up there. Well, it was pretty good if there was only one Jeep in the road. But if there was two Jeeps meeting each other, that dude was not wide enough. And to this day, I can remember the horrible feeling of us coming up to a Jeep and having to find just a little bit of an indent into the side of the cliff, because on the other side was straight down, and that was my side. And me looking over the side at the tire, telling my brother-in-law, move over. He said, I can't. I said, move over. Trying to keep everything on there and just looking down, and it was just. And I always remember that. I just said, I wish that guy had been a little bit more explicit when we met him, when he said it was pretty good on up there, and said, well, it's really narrow. You know, I might have gone on a different road. Well, that's all you are, is a witness in life. You need to tell people that road that they're headed down, it's not a good one. It's not going to make for good in their lives. You've been down a road like that, and Jesus delivered you. That's all he wants us to do. That's the sole purpose. And who you're going to minister to and who you're going to witness to is where you are. Hello? It's where you are. It's not where you maybe think you should be. It's where you are today. Right? Okay. So Paul tells him this. He says, this is what we're going to do. He's got a focus. He's got a vision. Now when you go to chapter 27, all hell breaks loose. Paul is simply trying to accomplish the vision for his life, simply trying to do what Jesus is asking him to do, and he can't get there. Put him on a boat, head him out to sea. Everything in the world happens. Trying to get from one ship to the other. I love this part right here in chapter 27, verse 10. He says, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of cargo and ship, but also our lives. He got on a ship knowing that it was going to kill them all. That this, he just wanted to go to Rome and preach. And he's telling them, so boy, this thing's going to end up bad. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of ship than by the thing spoken of by Paul. So nobody listened to him. Right? So they sail off on a ship, a death ship. Paul knows it. They get in there, they run under all the problems of the winds and all the kinds of things like that. You know, this big northeasterner hits them and they can't get into the ports, and they're trying to get out, and they're out in the middle of the sea. And If you look at verse 21, it says, after a long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Oh, I love him. Man, this says, I told you so. He said, listen to me. He says, and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, to whom the angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those that will sail with you. So, in other words, the distraction of life, when Paul kept his vision on it, even though there was a distraction, even though there looked like there was going to be loss, even though it looked like there was going to be death, even though he knew it was a death ship he was on, God had a greater plan. Amen? I want you to know, no matter what the disaster looks like, God has a plan. And God's plan stands if you'll keep standing in God's plan. If you keep the focus and keep the vision, right? Then God has, his plan will come forth out of the disaster, out of the distraction, out of the wind, out of the storm. But you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. There was one time, I don't even know how to explain it to you. It doesn't really make good sense, but it was back in 91, and we were over in the Ukraine, and we were going down a road in a car, and we traveled, and I was full of jet lag, and I was out of my head, man. I was so tired. I was just completely, I could not keep my eyes open. I had never been like that before in my life. It just was impossible. We're in this car, and we start getting the Russian mafia is chasing us. And they're trying to stop the car. And the guys are telling us. And so we're going on this speed chase down this road. And these guys are after us. And I look in the back, and there's this little black sedan, just like you see in the movies. Little black, you know, one of those little black Ruski cars. And they're chasing us down the road. And we're in this bigger car. And then we're sitting there, and we're going, and we've got all this stuff in the back. And we're all loaded in there. And everybody's looking around. Everybody's nervous. And everybody's praying, you know. And we're going down this road, and going down this road, and going this road. And I remember saying to the Lord, you know, Lord, I can't die like this. I mean, if I die, well, who's going to praise you? Who's going to preach? He's going to go over and preach if I'm dead. And I remember faith began to grow in my heart right then. I said, man, guys, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. And everybody's like looking at me. And I just began to pray out loud in the car. I said, man, in the name of Jesus, I just rebuke those guys. I just, Lord, I loose angels over us. I thank you that, God, everything's going to be okay. And as I'm praying out of my mouth, I look out of the car, and I'm hunkered down because I'm scared they're going to shoot. And so I'm hunkered down in the seat. And I remember looking out, and I see something going, ching, 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 ching. And along the road there, and I looked, and it was the lug nut of the car that we were in. And I just remember praying, God, I think my prayer just immediately changed. I think you're going to keep the wheel on this car in the name of Jesus. No lug nut's going to, we're going to come off. And I just prayed, and then I just went to sleep. I mean, it was like, I was out. I was gone. I prayed. It was over with. If they killed me, it didn't make any difference. I was going to get a good nap before it was all over with. But peace just settled over me. I knew it was done. I knew he'd prayed. I knew it was done. I knew it was over with. Didn't make any difference. They're still chasing us. And they ran into this town and did a bunch of turns. You got around there and went and hid, you know, pulled up in this little alleyway. And then they went by and we backed out. And, you know, just like the movies, it was crazy. I thought I was caught up in some kind of crazy TV show. And they went over to this. They knew this pastor in his house. And we shot in there and put the car in there. And they covered it all up. And I saw him. Said, I just want to stay in here and sleep. Y'all just leave me alone. I was so tired. But you know, God had a plan. And when you know by faith that there's a plan, that he has a destiny and he has a purpose, and you just got to keep focused. You just got to stay focused on it. The distractions are irritating. The distractions are you know, they're a pain. They're a pain. But when you know that's what you're called to do, to go stand and preach the words of life. You know what you're called to do is just a real witness to all those around you. The rest becomes immaterial. Oh, you go about your day, you do your work, and you do whatever, but knowing that your destiny is to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for you. Amen? Okay, so if you read the story on, let me just read just a little bit of this to you. Verse 27. Now when the 14th night had come, so this was just a long ordeal. They were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, and at midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. They started taking out soundings, and they started pulling ropes, and they saw they were getting less and less, and they feared they were going to run across some rocks. It's getting worse. It ain't getting better. Paul said everything's going to be okay, and it got worse. Do you see that? Now they're scared they're going to run on rocks. Verse 30 says the sailors were seeking to escape the ship. So they let down the skiff in the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. And Paul said to the centurion, unless these men stay in the ship, they cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut away the ropes. Now they're listening to him. And let it fall. The day was about to dawn. Paul implored them to take food, saying, today is the 14th day, and we've waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you. Paul knew what was going to happen. It didn't look like it. It looked like they were going to shipwreck, looked like they were going to die, and they were going to drown in the sea, they're going to be gnashing up on the rocks, whatever. For the person who looked over the bow of the ship to the sea, it did not look like that. That's where the faith comes in our life to live for Jesus. That's where the faith comes in our life to look over the bowels of our ships when it doesn't look really good. When it looks like, I don't know how we're going to make it. We look over the ship and say, wait a minute, I know what Jesus has told me to do. He goes on down here. So they ate, they broke bread together, they prayed together. Then when it gets down to they're actually being shipwrecked, in verse 39, they went to run the ship onto the ground, and then they let loose the anchors, and they ran in towards it. It struck the rocks, though, and so the ship was broken up. And it says the soldiers' plan was, in verse 42, was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should escape. Now it's gotten really bad. Because they're just going to kill them all. See, sometimes in the disaster, it can get worse before it gets better. But there was a centurion wanting to save Paul, and he kept them from the purpose, and he commanded them that they should all jump over and swim. And so they swam. Then they got to the island of Malta. And they met Publius. And miracles happened. They were sick. From the sick were healed, and revival happens, and all kinds of great things went and took place, and all kinds of miracles. All I'm saying tonight is if we stay focused, we will make it. If you stay focused, you'll make it. The distractions may be great. The winds may be boisterous. Things may be going all awry. But if you stay focused, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on the prize, keep walking towards it, well, then you're going to make it. Because his will supersedes all others. Jesus' will supersedes all others. Jesus' plan for your life supersedes all others. Amen?